Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into the producer show here on Sports Radio WEEI. I am Chris Scheim. Joining me today, my fellow producer on the Gresh O'Keefe program, the second third of the Winners Club podcast, the one and only John Anderson.
The second third. Wow. Top going. Mutt, me, you, or you, me, mutt?
Let's say mutt, you, me. Fine.
That's big get. Big get, by the way.
I like to be number three. That's fine.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
I like the podium finish. That's
third
all I
one
care
in.
About.
Okay.
Yeah, third one in, third one out, you know? I take the longest at the buffet.
You know, it's a serious show, Scheim, when I bring my laptop in. I have my laptop, my personal computer is in front of me.
There were
morning.
Two things that indicated to me today was going to be a good show. One was that you had your laptop, you were well prepared.
Yes.
And two, you stood up and you said, if I throw this in the trash can from across the room, which is just like a tissue, then it's going to be a great show. And you absolutely nailed it.
And I absolutely nailed it. I felt the life force of Bismarcky take that tissue and throw it over there. So every gambling advice and fantasy advice we give you today is
take it to heart.
Bismarcky's hands are all over this. He's gonna bring that and make it happen.
617-779-7937. You can text us 37937 as well. One of the things we want to do here today is any football-related questions you have for us today, throw them at us. Text them at us. You can tweet at us. He's at AndersonJA. I'm at ShimeTime on Twitter. You can tweet at us, text us, call us. Any questions about any NFL team, we're going to take it today because we are going to do basically all foot. This is a big football prep show, John. We are getting you as ready as we possibly can for the NFL season. One of the big things around here, though, the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots right now. Yeah, right. Shocker.
Patriots are big around here?
I guess so. The Patriots currently on draft. We're using DraftKings here for our over-unders. The New England Patriots are set at 9.5 wins this season. We're going to go through. We're going to get the Patriots over-under. Kind of feel where we're at here because I think John and I are on different sides about this. Compare them to the rest of the AFC East and then give you three of our favorite over-unders for the NFL season so that, you know, you can make some informed bets if you decide to do so.
And keep in mind, so Scheim and I, subscribe if you haven't. It'll be back in a few weeks for the regular season. Winners Club Podcast, me, Scheim, Mutt, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, WEEI.com. We have been doing this. This will be the third season we've done it. Every offseason we have done over-unders, and we actually have never gotten one wrong before.
Yep.
So listen to these very closely.
All the time.
We'll repeat ourselves in a couple weeks on it, and we'll also, you know, we'll nail them. Yep. Well, because a few years ago, Scheim, there was a few times that in the preseason we see something and we're like, that line is criminally low, and we're like, take it now. It happened with the Colts the year that Andrew Luck retired. We were like, it's 6.5 wins. Like, you need to take that right now. And there's a few that we're going to get to here in a second. You should take it like today.
Yeah, you need to. One of the things with over-unders is you need to kind of get out ahead of it just before preseason, because preseason, A, is when injuries happen, and B, it's when people start to realize, oh, crap, this team might actually be pretty good.
Exactly.
And you kind of recognize, too, the good coaches, right? Some of the new coaches in the NFL people don't know much about. We try to do as much research as we can on them and kind of give you a good feel on if they're going to be successful at all. Kevin Stefanski was one of those guys. You've been high on Kevin Stefanski for years.
Right.
And so as soon as he became the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, you were all over that the Cleveland Browns were just going to be a good football team because Kevin Stefanski knows what he's doing.
Right. So as we go through these, we'll sort of cue you in on, like, who are the smart coaches in the league? And we tend to lean towards the smart play callers, your McVay, Shanahan, tree guys, and they're the ones that, especially in, you know, going into the season, something to keep in mind is when you see those guys playing against teams that, like, yeah, you know, might not be the smartest. Let's say Jason Garrett happens to be their offensive coordinator. Like, that's a team, if there's a big spread, you want to go with a smart coach in that situation. But we'll get to that as we go through this, Sean.
Yeah, so let's start with the New England Patriots, the hometown team here, set at 9.5 right now, the overs plus 110, the under minus 130. John, which way are you leaning on the New England Patriots?
I'm going very far over on the Patriots this season, and I think where we're going to part on this, I don't know if you're going over or under on them yet, but I know that you're a bit higher on other teams in the AFC East, whereas I sort of think that they should win every game in the AFC East, and then they get to play the NFC South this year. So aside from the Buccaneers, I think that's another three wins. I believe they play the AFC South as well. They do. They play the AFC South. I think that's another at least three wins. They play the Cowboys, who have been known to not be as good as we think they are going into the season. I think what it comes down to the Patriots with me is I think they can win with Cam, but I also think that they're not going to let the Cam thing drag itself out too much, especially if they think Mac is ready. I think they'll go to Mac within the first month or two of the season, because we always play this game. Aside from the Chiefs having their whole thing where they said, no matter what, Alex Smith is playing weeks 1 through 17 and in the playoffs this year, and we're trading him and Patrick Mahomes is starting. That was the plan the entire time. The Patriots are the difference here is that Bill Belichick is not going to let Cam Newton keep playing if they're winning in spite of him. That's at least what I think. I know you disagree with me on that. But also, like, this happens a lot where we're like, oh, you know, Tom Savage is going to start this season. And by halftime of the first game, Deshaun Watson is that happens way too often for me to not think it's going to happen again with Mac Jones this season. So I think the sooner they go to Mac, the more games they win. However, I think they're going to go to him sooner or not. Also, if they don't, I also think they can win 10 games with Cam Newton. They're not going to win in ways that are the sexiest ways. But like I said, if they get to week 7 and they're winning games 7-3 with Cam, I think Mac's going in. And that's only, and that'll be the Cam versus Mac thing is something that we're going to hit on a lot this show, because it has a lot of fantasy implications and such.
It has, there's so much going on with this Patriots team right now. I think when the schedule came out, it was you, me, and Fitzy. We were on the Twitch stream, the old Twitch stream, and Fitzy had them at like 12 or 13 wins. And for me, that's just way too high. Now, I think it's realistic that the Patriots could get to 10. But for me, honestly, the number's right at 9. Like, that's, to me, 9-7, or what is it, 9-8 now, it would be?
Yeah, this extra game is really throwing the pooch on this whole thing.
But 9-8 seems about right to me. I think this team is, I think defensively, they are better than 500. Offensively, not so much. So I actually lean under on this Patriots team, and my sole reasoning for that here is because I actually lean over on Miami. So the Miami Dolphins are the exact same number, 9.5. I lean over on Miami, so therefore I think just by process of elimination, I don't think three teams in the AFC East are going to have 10 wins or better. So for me, I'm just going to go with the under on the Patriots, 9.5. And it's more so because of how I feel about Miami. I think we both pretty much think that Buffalo is going to win more than 10 games this year, you know, anywhere from 11 to 13 in that range. And I know we very much differ on Miami. And so I think that's kind of the decision maker for me. I don't think the Jets really come into play here. I do think they win a couple games. I still don't think they win much. It'll be interesting to see what kind of offense they run with Zach Wilson, and they have a lot of rookies there on offense, so I think that's a team that could rise in the coming years. But right now I don't see the Jets winning a lot. You know, Buffalo's gonna get theirs. They're gonna win football games. Josh Allen, as much as I want to rail on the guy had an unbelievable season last year. He was like the second best quarterback in football last year, and it wasn't even close. So it comes down to basically the Patriots versus the Dolphins here for that second spot in the AFC East, and I lean Dolphins. I just think ultimately Tua, I think he's going to have a bounce back year this year. He was coming off a debilitating hip injury. He had an offensive coordinator who made a career off designing offenses for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then on top of that, he had no weapons. Like, Devontae Parker was his only guy, and he was injured a little bit. And so now you bring in Will Fuller, who we've seen his splits on and off the field with Deshaun Watson. We bring in Jalen Waddle. You still have Devontae Parker. Mike Gesicki's another year in. Miles Gaskin's going to get the full load. He was injured a lot last year as well. I think there's questions with the offensive line, but ultimately, I think that Miami offense is better than the Patriots offense, and their defense is pretty close. Like, I think it's on par. I think the secondary is pretty solid. I think they need some safety help, and they need to just make sure the pass rush works, right? Like, I think that's their big thing is they need to make sure they can get after the quarterback. But then again, the Patriots couldn't get after the quarterback last year either. So they need to do the same thing. So I think their defenses are actually very similar.
I really believe Bill wants to win a lot of games this year.
Thank you, Glenn.
I would agree with that statement. Hot take.
I would, too.
I think Bill wants to win games. Belichick tries to win every week. Every single week. He's gonna go out there. He's going to put 11 guys on the field.
He's never going to pull...
Every play.
He's never going to pull a Philadelphia Eagles in the final game of the season, pull his starting quarterback, who's played pretty well for Nate Sudfeld.
He's going to put Jared Steinem in for a couple games.
Yeah, definitely.
I know, if Mac isn't ready, I'm not like... I can see them putting Stidham in if Cam stinks. I don't know. That's a whole separate argument.
Jared Steinem, exactly.
Thank you, Cam.
But like, so part of my thing with the Patriots is like, so I weigh offensive line more than anything. I think the Patriots are going to have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Offensive line talk. Let's go. I'm excited.
Let's do it. Offensive line talk. 8:09 a.m.
What do you expect? It's John and I in the morning. Like, what else?
8:09 only airing in Boston proper. Of course, we're doing O line talk. But until I see the Dolphins put it on the field, because we have seen way too many times a team with hype. Not that the Dolphins are a team with hype necessarily. If anything, they're like the perfect Super Bowl pick because like no one thinks they're going to do anything. No one thinks they're going to be horrible.
They're going to be
like,
average.
Not a lot of people think they're going to be good. Yep. It's like every year when like the Titans would go 9-7. It's like, and then one year they almost did that. So,
exactly.
Like until I see it with their O-line, I'm just not sold on that yet. I think the Bills could have some problems. Jets may sneaky have like a good O-line. So if that's how you weigh it, and that's something worth weighing, folks out there who maybe are like, oh, offensive line, like what are we doing here? Like the 2019 Cleveland Browns got tanked by offensive line. Everyone was picking them for the Super Bowl. Everyone was picking that team for the Super Bowl, and they had 2 of 5 starters. So it's something you need to pay attention to out there.
Offensive line is one of the more underrated topics in football. Like it's one of those things that it's like people that are around the game understand that offensive line is extremely important.
Name a team that's won the Super Bowl that had a bad O-line.
You can't. You can't do it.
Like
because
the Patriots
it doesn't happen.
Made it to the AFC Championship game with a bad O-line, I think in 2015.
But that's because they had Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time.
And it's because they had injuries to it. It's not like they didn't fill the need or anything, but like it doesn't happen. Like if a team had a horrible offensive line and won the Super Bowl, that would just everywhere you looked within NFL media, that information would slap you across the face. It would be common knowledge. Like everyone would be like, oh, the 18 Patriots had a bad O-line when they won the Super Bowl 13-3 or whatever it was. Like it doesn't happen. It's like it's the biggest indicator. This isn't true from an analytical standpoint. It's true from my brain. It's true from my brain standpoint.
And Andy Hart's standpoint. Your eyes.
Biggest indicator. Yeah, but eye test. I do eye test over analytics. Yes. I don't need the Pythagorean theorem to tell me if an offensive line is good or not. Okay.
I can see a guard pulling and how hard he hits.
Yes. So I'm over on Patriots. You're under. Top 10 pulling guards. Go.
So from the 603, do either of you have the Patriots any better than third in the division? I say no. I think the Patriots slot right in at third in the division.
I think they're first.
You think they're first in the division?
I still think they're first, yes.
Wow.
I'm taking the over on them. I would take them to win the division. I think because I don't know if we differ on this as much as I think, but like I think they're going to Mac sooner or later. And I think the more Mac plays with that offensive line and with the running game that they're going to have combined with the short passing game I think the team's going to have, then I think they will easily win 11 games.
I think you're going to get a lot of close games. And I think you're going to get, again, you're going to have a great rushing attack. Like you said, good offensive line, good running backs, like a good running back room, and then Cam Newton. And I'm different. I don't think Mac Jones is going to start many games this year. I just don't. I think you're going to see a lot of Cam Newton. Bill is loyal to him for whatever reason. He seems to like him a lot. I think Cam's going to get the vast majority of the starts this year until they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
If Cam starts the whole season, I think they make the playoffs but don't win the division. Mac starts sooner than later, I think they win the division.
Okay, fair enough. Another team we're both very, very high on here that I want to move to right now is the Los Angeles Rams. We are both, very vocal about how much we like Sean McVay as a head coach, how good we think he is. And right now their line is set at 10.5 wins.
Right. Keep in mind, that's
now 17 games. You only have them at 10.5 wins.
I would take that with a 16 game season.
And
as well.
The overs plus 105.
Yeah. Depending on where you look, I've got plus 110 from somewhere else, but like, depending on where you look, it's you're making money off.
Yes,
of that.
I don't understand to me why it doesn't make any sense why the LA Rams are at 10.5.
So they have the best quarterback upgrade probably since like the Broncos signed Peyton Manning.
Well, the Buccaneers signed Tom Brady.
True. Okay. Nick, dump that. Give me that last 10 seconds back.
Seconds
we'll start
back.
That over. We'll just move to a different aspect.
You wanted a new cut for next week?
Oh, there it is. I know. Yeah. I know. I just dug myself in. I'm an all-time self-ditch digger at this station. I do that more than
But either way, Jared Goff to Matt Stafford.
Again.
Massive upgrade.
I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. They have one of the best lines in the league. Yep. They're going to.
Yes, they also
could they're definitely going to have a top five defense, I think. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone sort of we talked this Greshline, the old off-air show. We were discussing this. So they lose their biggest losses on defense. They actually managed to reset. Like Leonard Floyd, they somehow extended. I don't know how they did that. But they lose Troy Hill and John Johnson Jr. Up until 2 years ago, nobody knew who those people were.
Nope.
And that's because the Rams in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years have been so much better at just taking a third and fourth round pick, especially in the secondary, and just cycling them in at the safety position, turning them into like not an all pro, but at least good enough where they can go get a second contract somewhere else.
Helps and then you have two of the top three defensive players in football.
Right.
When you have Jalen Ramsey at cornerback, who consensus seems to be that he's the best corner in football, and then you have Aaron Donald, who we all know might be one of the greatest D tackles we've ever seen play the sport.
Right. So their defense is going to be awesome. Their offense with Matthew Stafford's good, everyone.
I know
there's some people still, I don't know why people die on that hill.
I don't either.
He's never won a playoff game.
He played in Detroit.
Next segment be why wins aren't a QB stat? And then go from there.
He had offensive coordinators like Joe Lombardi.
I hate him.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I said it.
I actually not just because his last name is Lombardi.
No.
you can't get the ball to Calvin Johnson. It was a whole thing. We'll get to fantasy football next segment. I had Calvin Johnson on my fantasy team in 2015. The Lions are 0-5, and I think watch your mouth. Watch your mouth behind the glass. Joe Lombardi could not get the ball to Calvin Johnson. Just throw the ball to Calvin Johnson.
The biggest thing for me is in Detroit, Matthew Stafford had to try and be Superman just to win a game.
Right.
In L.A., you want to know what he needs to do? Just not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. He has Cam Akers running the football, who we saw second half of the last year play tremendous. And Sean McVay is going to scheme up a lot of great runs for him. He's going to get a lot of opportunity there. Then on top of that, you have Cooper Kupp. You have Robert Woods. You have Tyler Higbee, who's now unopposed by Gerald Everett. And when Tyler Higbee is on the field and Gerald Everett is not, Tyler Higbee, for whatever reason, plays like a top five tight end in football. The guy pops off every single time,
and
I don't understand.
I think their two tight end sets are going to be good this year, too.
Yeah.
And that's an analytics thing out there,
folks. They still have Van Jefferson. They drafted another receiver as well this year. Like, this team is it might have been the kid out of NC State. Brown.
Well, they drafted Tutu Atwell this year as well as Jacob Harris. But so last year they drafted Bryson Hopkins in the fourth round of tight end. And this year they used another draft pick. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I think cycle people in. Yep. Gerald Everett, go to Seattle, whatever. We'll bring in two tight end sets. If you're able to pass out of that, that is like huge in the NFL as far as efficiency goes. But also shine there. And I don't know what the parlay number would be on this. But the Rams Super Bowl odds right now, they're fourth at +1300.
+1300? I love that.
Yeah.
They're like my favorite team out of the NFC.
So
like I understand Tom Brady still exists, and like the Buccaneers have to be taken into account. But
I think the Rams are better than the Buccaneers.
I mean, roster wise, absolutely.
Yeah.
This Rams team is stacked, and both of us probably would say on a day to day basis we probably prefer the Shanahan play calling. But overall, game planning wise, Sean McVay might be one of the best coaches in football at simply just game planning for an opponent.
True. There were some inefficiencies in the Tampa offense last year. What it comes down to is especially as the season went along, Tom Brady started throwing less interceptions.
Yeah, and one of the things Warren Sharp harped on is early in the year, they were just running constantly on first down.
Right.
And one of the things that you have to do in the NFL nowadays is take advantage of those early down passing opportunities.
Oh, yeah, early down success rate.
That's why the Bills were so good last year.
Yeah, if nobody's heard about that stat before, it's hard to come by, but you basically have to pay if you want access to that stat. But like if you comb the internet, you see people like citing it and stuff all the time. The only stat that correlates to wins more than early down success rate is turnover differential. Like literally that's the only thing. So if you have a team that's good at that, which typically the teams that are good at that are the teams with the smart offensive play callers, your Shanahans, your McVays, your LaFleurs, your Belichicks, your like those are team Sean Payton, like the teams that have been the best at that the last 5 years are literally all the best offenses in the leagues. Your Andy Reid's. Like so that's definitely something you should keep into account there. But do we want to hit our three over-unders, Sean?
Yes, I'll go first here. My favorite one here, I think, has to be under 6.5 for the Philadelphia Eagles. I expect total collapse. Now, I actually really like Jalen Hurts. I think fantasy-wise, he could be a very big asset. But when it comes to actual football here, John, the Eagles might be the worst team in football. And this is a league with the Houston Texans right now, because I think Nick Sirianni has the chance to be one of the biggest, like, absolute crap jobs of a coach I've ever seen. And like, I wouldn't be shocked if it's one and done. But then again, I may also be surprised. I don't think I will be. But ultimately, I just think this Philadelphia Eagles team, top to bottom, the roster stinks. Adding Devontae Smith to your offense is great, but your offensive line is constantly injured.
Yeah.
They need to get new guys in there, and they haven't. Jalen Hurts needs an offense designed around him now. It's this whole thing. I don't think their running back situation is great. Miles Sanders is fine, but for whatever reason, they've never really wanted to commit to him as their guy.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Yeah, thank you, Nick Sirianni. So I'm going under on the Eagles here, 6.5. I think they are the last place team in the NFC East, where I think all three of those other teams are at least decent to pretty good. And so I think this Eagles team just gets absolutely smashed this year.
So we did this yesterday on Gresh and Keefe as well. So I'll give one that I didn't give yesterday. I feel the Venn diagram between those audiences is probably a circle.
Yeah.
So, or at
pretty
least
close.
That wouldn't make sense because we don't have whatever. I'm going to go with the Colts over 10 wins right now. And that's at plus 110. So similar to the Rams, that's great value. And again, extra game. So winning, going 11-6 is like that. Winning 11 games is great. That's not as big of a compliment maybe as like people might make it out to be. But the thing about, like, we just talked about smart head coaches. Frank Reich's a smart head coach.
Yes, he is.
Like I think he's going to revitalize Carson Wentz. But also Carson Wentz coming into a situation. I know they have a question at left tackle. They brought some guys in to basically create competition there after Anthony Costanzo retired, I think. But their O-line should be good. They've got a crop. Teams that can use more running backs, I will always side with. Also, the thing is, like, in that division, they easily have the best defense in the NFC South. And to be honest with you, all the other defenses in the NFC South are probably going to be crap, like bad. So I think an efficient offense versus a bad defense with a smart play caller, I think they could easily win. I know I'm just saying every team could go 6-0 in the division, but I could see them going like 5-1. Maybe they drop one to the Titans somewhere.
Yep.
But so my first one is Colts over 10 wins at plus 110.
Take it today. My second one here, I mean, you just don't be stupid about this. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're over under right now. It's 12.5. Is it high? Yep. But they're the Kansas City Chiefs. In the last three seasons, they've won 12 games, 12 games, 14 games. Like, this is an Andy Reid coach team with Patrick Mahomes. Now, their defense is a little spotty. They have a totally, basically, new offensive line that you need to see if they can gel together. But, I mean, again, this is a Kansas City offense with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Like, don't overthink this, okay? There's an extra game now on top of the fact that they've won 12 or more games the last three seasons. Okay, 12.5 is not too high. I'm taking the over on Kansas City, and it's plus 105. Like, you're getting the benefit of getting just over even money there, and it's the easiest thing. Just don't overthink it. Don't overthink it, stupid. Go ahead, John.
Everyone's all hot and bothered about the Chargers going into the season. Say, like, the Chargers are the second
the
year
Chargers
QB. By the way, the Carson Wentz effect of second year QB winning Super Bowl has like screwed over bettors for the last
Chargers
5 years now.
The Cleveland Browns of 2019.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I've got them. So they're at 9.0. I've got them under nine wins this season. And I know, because so again, I'll make this quick. Offensive line. They were last and second to last in pass block and run block win rate, respectively, in those two categories.
Not great.
They brought in Corey Lindsey for center. They've got Brian Bulaga at right tackle. He's getting old. They draft Rashawn Slater in the second in the first round at left tackle. Both guard position. It's a question mark going into the season. And they also they have a tough road to start the season as well. I don't have it up. I'll get it in a second. But like, yes, Justin Herbert's going to be good. Yes, they have weapons on offense. I don't think their defense is going to be good either, because they finally lost all those pieces that should have made it the best secondary in the league, but they were all injured every year. They're gone now. They're all gone. Casey Hayward's gone. Adrian Phillips is on the Patriots. I know they drafted Asante Samuel. That doesn't fix it. Do we think Derwin James is going to be healthy the new year? No. They've never had a linebacker since they never replaced Sean Merriman.
Yeah,
on that
one
team.
Of the things people need to do too is, and we'll bring this up again in the fantasy portion of this program, is that we kind of got lucky last year, where we had two rookies have two of the best rookie seasons ever in NFL history in Justin Jefferson and Justin Herbert. And so it's okay to expect some regression for Justin Herbert, okay? You look at Patrick Mahomes, and this is the perfect example of positive team regression, because Patrick Mahomes, in his first full season as a starter, throws for 50 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards. In the second season, throws for like 26 touchdowns and he's hurt a little bit. But overall, the Kansas City Chiefs are better and then win the Super Bowl. I think you're going to expect a lot of that out of Justin Herbert this year. I think the Chargers will be better than last year. They were 32nd in special teams DVOA. They just need to be average, and they're immediately better because they lost so many games.
They were 32nd by a long shot, too.
Yeah,
it was like a long third, like the gap from 31 to 32.
And they lost so many games because of special teams, which shouldn't happen this day in the NFL. So I think you can expect the Chargers to be better, but I kind of sit right around that 9-win marker, so I can't – I'm not – over or under this for me is to stay away, because I think Justin Herbert, you have to expect some regression, but for the team, I think they're going to get better.
Right. So they start the season. Washington, maybe a best defense in the league.
Yep.
Cowboys could be a top five offense in the league.
Yep.
Chiefs, probably best offense. Raiders, I'll give them a win. Browns, Ravens, Patriots, Eagles, whatever. And
that's
they have to play the Vikings plus the rest,
six games.
Plus the two matchups with a Broncos team, which I've harped on.
And they have to play the Chiefs again.
Yeah.
Like that's
they're not that's,
they
a, that's a hard schedule, and believe it or not, that's a middle of the road schedule of strength. I looked that up. Yeah,
they were third in their division last year too. Like
right,
that's
7-9. Yeah,
that's I mean they're going to have a tough road this year, which is why I like them to win some games, but I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I just don't know if that'll count to two or three more wins.
Right. All right, what's your last one?
My last one here. I'm gonna do the Cardinals over 8.5 here. They've won. Seven games and eight games with Kyler Murray. He's just getting better. And I think one of the issues, the only reason they didn't win more than eight games last year, I think, is because Kyler Murray got hurt. Like, he hurt his shoulder, and then he re-injured it in the Seahawks game. So, ultimately, I think the key here is I think they need to kind of cool it a little bit with the Kyler Murray-designed runs.
I agree.
Like, inside the red zone, I get it. Like, I think you need to handle him like they handle Josh Allen, where when it's inside the red zone, you got to do everything you can to get in the end zone. But when you're between the 20s, you kind of need to cool it and just let him throw the football. The guy is a tremendous thrower of the football. You now have, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is, in my opinion, the best receiver in football. I think he is the most talented receiver in football. And so just let him throw it to DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
And get Christian Kirk a little bit more involved. Start to really kind of get that Cliff Kingsbury spread four receiver offense in there and start to figure it out and let him do what he's great at and throw the football and kind of tone it down and prevent him from getting hurt. And that may mean that he's not going to be as good fantasy-wise, but in real football, you need to do that sometimes. In order to be better, sometimes you need to take the ball out of your quarterback's hands.
Right. So that team's got two good running backs now. I was reading about this a bit last night as well in prep for this. But they're third in pass block win rate. They've got an elite left tackle. DJ Humphries came out of nowhere. They signed Rodney Hudson from the Raiders. I think they brought in Brian Winters from the Jets. So the O-line's going to be better. There are some problems on defense. But
they drafted Jedrick Wills last year too, didn't they?
Jedrick Wills? I don't think so. I think that's the whatever. You can grab that. But on defense, they bring in Malcolm Butler and Darquez Dennard. Like, I know they lose Patrick Peterson. They draft Zayvon Collins. But, like, the defense is in transition to some new faces. But, like, it's Kyler. Like, Kyler's got to play better. Cliff's got to call better plays for the for the Cardinals to have success this year. My last one, Chime. I gave this one yesterday to Gresham Keefe as well. I'll say it again here. The Las Vegas Raiders, 7.5. They are only returning 2 out of 5 starters on their offensive line. And their defense is going to be really, really bad.
Yeah, that
maybe it's time to stop just drafting players that you think are good guys. I don't know. So
I think so. John Gruden needs a kind of reality.
Yep. So I've got the Raiders under 7.5, the Colts over 10, and the Chargers under 9.
I went Cardinals over 8.5. I had the Eagles under 6.5 and the Chiefs over 12.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
Yeah, thank you, John Gruden. 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Coming up next, we're going to get into some fantasy football stuff. John and I have been dying to do this. We did a little bit of it this week with the Gresham Keefe program, but we kept it all Patriots. This time, we're going to spread out. But until then, let's get some trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After a 4-0 victory, Eduardo Rodriguez struck out 8, only allowing 1 run in 5 2/3 innings. I thought we were friends, Nick. Yeah, I may not have.
The Red Sox shut them out, but he let up a run.
I misread the copy. My apologies to the text line. I can't read. Not only do I stumble over myself all the time, I can't read. Welcome back to the producer show. I am Chris Scheim. Joining me, as always, John Anderson. Nick LePan behind the glass today. And so right now we want to get into some fantasy football today. 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937 as well with any questions you have regarding the NFL, fantasy football, regular NFL questions. One of the questions, actually, John, that we got ties nicely into our fantasy segment. Is Kyle Pitts the number 2 tight end fantasy option already without even taking a snap? I assume after Travis Kelce. I personally say no. I think he's probably right around that 5-6 spot.
Yeah, definitely not, especially in his rookie season. And I know everyone thinks he's going to be Calvin Johnson, but until, like, I still have him behind. I think I have him probably 4th or 5th. I'm a little lower on Waller going into this year because I think the Raiders might just be so bad. But as far as fantasy goes, like, that may be good for him if he's the only option.
I think there's no other
option. Same goes with, like, TJ Hawkinson, someone like that. Like, maybe the Lions will be bad, but, like, who else are they giving the ball to?
I think that those
I have
are
Kittle
guys,
ahead of him still.
Yeah, I think those are the guys I have ahead as well. I think I go Kelce, Kittle, or actually even Kelce, Waller, Kittle, and Hawkinson. And then I probably put Kyle Pitts right around the Mark Andrews range right now, right in that 5-6 area. But let's get into some Patriots players and their possible fantasy impact this year. It's not a whole lot, right? I think Jacoby Myers last year in the back half of the season was like a wide receiver 2 in a 12-team league. So he was like the 22nd to 24th receiver, depending on what kind of league you play in. So let's run through a couple of these. Damian Harris right now, his ADP is 78th overall. He's the 34th running back off the board. John, are you overdrafting this guy? Are you... Let's do it this way. Let's pounce, pass, or kick. Are you going to overdraft him? Are you going to kind of just pass on him or draft him?
Pounce, pass, or pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said kick.
Well, you wrote kick, so yes, it said kick.
Yeah, exactly. Pick.
Can you read?
Yeah, I wrote
pounce. Can't read his own. He messes up his own
copy. I literally
copy.
Wrote pounce, pass, or kick. It's pounce on him early, pass on him and get him a little later, or kick completely on him.
Or pick him right where that's what passing on him is. Mm. Or pick him, as in pick him where he is, pass on him as in like,
okay,
don't
either way,
draft him
what are
there.
You doing with Damian Harris, John?
I am pouncing on Damian Harris because
really?
I think he's clearly, especially where he's going. So you said 78. So what's that? Quick maths. Seventh round?
Yes.
Sixth or seventh
middle
round?
Middle of the seventh round.
I'll take him in the sixth round if he's there. Easily. Okay. Especially if I miss out on some of the early running backs and I get some of the top wide receivers. Like, I think he is clearly going to be the guy running the ball for the Patriots this season. Because Sony Michel just doesn't have it. Although, Sony, again, great O-line. I think Sony Michel, when the Patriots have had a good O-line, was good. When they had a bad O-line, he was bad. Damian Harris, it didn't really matter if the O-line was good or bad. He just went off regardless. So, especially if I'm hurting on running back by that time, I will definitely draft Damian Harris around head. I'm pouncing.
I think I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on Damian Harris. No, I'm not going to kick. I'm just going to straight up pass on Damian Harris here. And the sole reason is I just think there's too many mouths to feed in that rushing game. I think it's going to be probably one of the most efficient in the NFL. But when you have Cam Newton, Damian Harris, Sony Michel, and then James White in the mix as well, I just think there's so many mouths to feed. Damian Harris is clearly the number one, but at the same time, I think a lot of his red zone opportunities are going to get vultured by someone like Cam Newton. So for me, I'm just going to pass on Damian Harris. Let's look at the wide receivers here. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Agholor. Myers is drafted 338th overall ADP, 111th receiver, while Nelson Agholor, 185th overall, 59th receiver. John, do you pounce, pass, or pick either of those guys?
Honestly, the leagues I do are generally like 18 rounds of the draft, so I guess by definition it would be a pounce to pick Jacoby Myers in the last round.
Yep.
And it might be a situation where he's like the fifth or sixth wide receiver on your roster and you need to wait. You basically need to wait for Mac to have him really explode. But even with Cam last year down the stretch, he was like the main target.
And if he gets any red zone opportunity this year, his number immediately gets more valuable, right? He had zero touchdowns last year. And so if he gets that kind of production that he had after, I believe it was week 7, all of this season, then, I mean, you have to pounce on Jacoby Myers.
I know, especially, if he's scheduled to go in, like, the 22nd round of your draft. Like, by definition, I suppose it's a pounce. Agholor, I will also, because he should be around, like, the 16th round if it goes that late. That's another one where, I mean, if you're in a fantasy league with all Patriots fans, we know how that works.
Yeah.
As it gets towards the end, everyone starts drafting all the Patriots players. So, like, at that point, like, don't overdraft Jacoby Myers by, like, a few rounds. Don't take him in the 12th round. But if you get to the 16th round and he's there, I'll pick Jacoby Myers there. Or I'll pick Nelson Agholor there. Sorry. But that's a situation, though, where you got to stash him until Max.
Yeah, I am punting.
I don't think Cam's getting in the ball.
I am punting on Nelson Agholor completely. I'm not touching him.
This all goes back to like my philosophy that Mac is going to play sooner than later.
Yes.
Is sort of the way I'm looking at this.
So then let's look at the tight ends now. So we got two new tight ends here in New England this year. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. Jonnu Smith right now, the 134th ADP overall pick and 14th tight end, whereas Hunter Henry is 111 overall and the 11th ranked tight end. Most of these are half PPR, by the way, per Fantasy Pros. So, John, do you have a lean on Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry?
So, Jonnu Smith as the 14th tight end, honestly, if I miss out on the tight ends, like the elite tight ends at the top, and there's like, at that point, there's like not a lot of guys I love using like mid-round, like 5th, 6th, 7th round picks on for tight end. I'd be fine picking Jonnu Smith over a lot of those other guys, even in like the 9th round, say. Because the thing is, regardless of if it's Cam or if it's Mac, his red zone targets are going to be insane. I think since 2019, he has never dropped a pass in the red zone, and he also has 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, no wonder Belichick loves him.
I know. And like earlier this week, we played a compilation on Gresham Keith coming out of a commercial break of all of his touchdowns from last season.
Inside the 20-yard line.
All of them were inside the 20-yard line. I think all of them were inside the 10 except for one. So that's Cam's wheelhouse.
Yep.
5 yards and under.
I am also big on Jonnu Smith this year. I just think touchdown wise, if Cam ends up throwing more than 8 touchdowns, I think Jonnu Smith could be the beneficiary of the majority of those touchdowns. I'm kind of out on Hunter Henry. If Mac Jones starts a lot of games, I may switch my perspective a little bit. I think Hunter Henry probably would get more involved. But with Cam Newton at quarterback, I think Jonnu Smith's your guy.
That's what I'm thinking as well. I'm a pass on Hunter Henry because the fact that he's ahead of Jonnu Smith is kind of astounding to me in the ADP and the tight end rankings. So I'll pass on him because A, I don't want to have to wait for Mac Jones. I don't want to have to stash Hunter Henry waiting for Mac Jones to play.
Because Jonnu Smith will have success with Cam or Mac.
Like, I'm not sold Hunter Henry will make it the season healthy as well.
Agreed.
So I'd rather not risk it there.
And the last one we'll hit on here, Cam Newton, currently going undrafted in most half PPR leagues. Are you either even bother drafting him, or are you just kind of using him as a streaming option if your quarterback gets hurt or you don't get the quarterback you want?
I probably would not use. I guess if you have a deep league and you need a backup, then I guess
like
Cam,
a super flex league,
Cam wouldn't be the worst. But also, well, note on that, like if you have a 2 QB league or a super flex league, Cam would be a phenomenal pick.
Because the rushing upside
agreed. In that is huge, and especially if you stack him with Mac Jones too. Because then, if Cam gets injured or is out, then you just play Mac Jones with good weapons and a good O line. And if you're in a league like that, then that's great. So I guess. It would depend on the round, I guess. But if I were in a super flex and it was like the 15th round, I would pick Cam Newton there. I wouldn't overdraft him. There's other QBs. I'd go for Teddy before I went for Cam.
Yeah.
But there's upside to Cam Newton fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I agree. There's limited upside, but I think there's still upside. I don't think he could be any worse than last year. So if you got any value out of him last year, I think there's some more value to get out of him this year. But let's move on wider scope here. Let's go to the NFL. Guys, we're looking to overdraft. Quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, any of those.
Yeah, overdrafting is how, if you overdraft the right person, that's how you win fantasy leagues, folks. If you overdrafted, I overdrafted Christian McCaffrey his breakout year.
Yep.
Top of the second round. He wasn't supposed to go to like top of the third, end of the second. That's a league winner right there.
And I drafted Patrick Mahomes. Yep. His first year is a full starter.
You overdrafted Lamar. That's how you win leagues. Yes, so you need to pick the right guys to overdraft who are going to go off. And I'll start with the quarterbacks. Matt Ryan is the 15th quarterback by ADP right now. He is behind Justin Herbert. He's way behind Kyler Murray. And especially if you can get him in like the ninth. So he's scheduled to go somewhere around the 10th round. If you don't have a QB and you get Matt Ryan in the 8th or the 9th round, he's going to be in a much more efficient offense this year. Yes, he doesn't have Julio, but you bring in Pitts, you're able to spread the field more. O-line's good. Defense is really bad, so they're going to have to score a lot of points and throw the ball a lot. So if you can get Matt Ryan there, you should.
So, okay, I hate to do this. I feel like we're like pro Falcons people because my next guy is Mike Davis, the running back for the Atlanta Falcons.
We're pro Arthur Smith guys.
Yeah, we're pro Arthur Smith guys. That's right. But here's the reason why I'm big on Mike Davis, right? So he's now in a high-powered Atlanta offense who has a terrible defense. They're going to be very similar to the Cowboys of last year where they're going to need to score points in order to even come close to winning games. And with Arthur Smith calling the plays, I think they can do that. Davis basically has the entire backfield to himself. His backups are Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a wide receiver, and Quadri Allison,
who
had one carry last year. Yeah. There is literally no one else in that backfield with Mike Davis right now. He is going to be on the field all three downs. And on top of that, when he was on the Panthers last year, he basically gave you 80% of Christian McCaffrey. 80% of Christian McCaffrey over an entire season is a top five running back. Like, Mike Davis is an absolute steal. You can get him now, like, in the 5th or 6th round, normally where it's, like, a running back dead zone, you can get a guy like Mike Davis. And so I am pouncing all over Mike Davis.
And I'll give you one more before we break shine. Trey Sermon, rookie running back for the San Francisco 49ers. So I hit up my guy Kyle Madsen, covers the 49ers for USA Today out there. And he tipped me off to this, that they haven't used a draft pick on a running back like since Raheem Mostert 4 years ago. And for Trey Sermon, they traded 2 4th round picks in order to like move into the, I think it was the third.
Sermon fits so good in that offense.
They love him. He was described to me as the running back version of Debo Samuel. He's Debo Samuel, except he plays running back.
Yep.
And so they, like, Raheem Mostert might start the year. I think he's dinged up right now. Jeff Wilson's not going to be in the fold for a while.
Unfortunately.
And the thing is, so Trey Sermon's going, I think he's still going behind, or he's right around the same as Raheem Mostert. So as of now, if you can get Trey Sermon, ADP 108, so if you can get him in the 7th round, 8th round, and then if you also want to get him and Raheem Mostert, that would be a phenomenal pick, especially in dynasty leagues. But if you don't feel comfortable drafting a Shanahan running back that like in relying on him in fantasy, then try to get Mostert and Sermon, and that, like, thank me later. It's won me leagues.
And my last guy here is a team that you were actually pretty high on yesterday on the Gresham Keefe program. I'm going to go to the Denver Broncos here. I'm going to take Jerry Jeudy is a guy I'm going to pounce on. And here's why. Currently, his ADP is 100, and he's the 37th overall receiver. So he didn't have a single catch in the red zone last year. But you want to know why? Because Drew Lock sucks. How bad does he suck, John? Well, let me tell you.
How bad?
Uncatchable balls is a stat that most people need to know but don't know.
Right.
So last year, Jerry Jeudy had a league-high 26 uncatchable targets. Then he had a league-high 23% of his targets being uncatchable. 5 out of his 7 targets in the red zone last year were uncatchable. This guy, I think now with Cortland Sutton coming back healthy, I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the quarterback in this offense. And what did we notice last year in Carolina? Teddy's just not going to make mistakes. He's going to put the ball in the hands of his playmakers. Mm-hmm. He had four guys on his offense with over 1,000 yards of offense last year. I think you can see something similar this year with guys like Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and then Tim Patrick is the third receiver there. They can spread the ball out a little bit more in Denver. I expect Jerry Jeudy to have a big year. He only had 52 catches and 113 targets last year. So he was catching less than 50% of the passes thrown his way. And again, that is because Drew Lock sucks. So I lean Jerry Jeudy. So our guys here, Matt Ryan, Mike Davis, Jerry Jeudy, and Trey Sermon/Raheem Mostert, San Francisco running backs. 617-779-7937. We're going to wrap it up here before Ken and Curtis hop on here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I got a little story to tell you.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert.
Sports Radio WEEI, this is the producer show. I am Chris Scheim, joining me, John Anderson. We just broke down everything we could, fantasy-wise, in, 15 minutes.
I'm out of breath.
Yeah,
we did a 2-hour show in 1 hour.
We did. We were literally talking about this in the old off-air show, how we could have easily done 2 or 3 hours on just the over-unders.
We had way more to say, but we'll do it next week.
You know what? There's plenty of time, John. We got a whole month.
You know what? Lock the door.
Month. We got
Ken
a month and a half
here
until football season starts just about, so we are...
We got time.
We got some time to play around, but... Before we get out of here today, John, you had a couple thoughts you wanted to get out about the NHL expansion draft.
So as far as the expansion draft goes, by 5 p.m. today is the deadline for each club to submit its expansion draft protection list to League Central Registry and the NHLPA, so that the players can get a heads up if they have to move across the country right now. And latest on the Bruins from Joey Mac Hockey out in Worcester, he says he expects that the Bruins will protect Jake DeBrusque.
Which I think makes some sense.
That's good because you don't want to lose Jake DeBrusque for nothing. Also, Jake DeBrusque,
protect him and trade him.
Yep. Jake DeBrusque has value. Also, can't make it work with getting another winger in here this offseason, I want them to trade him and then use the money they're going to save to sign Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. I think you could
You're
easily
in
do
on
that.
The Suter Parise.
I'm in on Suter Parise because Parise could end up being your fourth line wing, but he's being paid handsomely by the Wild for the next 20 years.
Yeah, so you could probably get him for
life.
Nothing.
So he wants
league
to,
minimum,
he
veteran
wants to
minimum?
Win a he wants to win a cup. He hasn't sniffed a cup since his last year with the Devils when they got shut out by the Kings, and then he signed that abysmal deal with the Wild. So Bruins going to protect Jake DeBrusque. It's not the forward thing is going to matter. It probably won't matter. They'll end up taking either Zapora, Lazan, or Clifton, but we'll find out Wednesday.
Real quick, too, to the man formerly known as David Ortiz on Twitter, which Patriot do you expect to make the biggest jump in performance from last year? My guy, I'm going to go with Jacoby Myers. I think he has the best opportunity to, whether it's Cam or Mac, I think Jacoby Myers has a shot to jump this year.
I'll say Damian Harris again. Yeah. I've been waxing poetic about
the two,
him all morning. So.
The two big guys here. All right, that was the producer show here on Sports Radio WEEI. The Ken and Curtis Show up next here, right here on 93.7 Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.